Good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Everybody's excited that exams are over?
Yeah.
Ah, everybody must have done very well.
Yes.
Very good, very good. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you honor and glory and praise. Thanking you, Lord God, for all your goodness, for all your grace, for all your love, Lord God, that you have shown unto us. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus. So thankful for the name. So thankful for the blood, Lord God. So thankful for your holy written word. Father, we are so thankful for the precious Holy Spirit who is here to help us, to open our eyes, to open our ears, to give us understanding. And we give you all praise and all honor and all glory, Lord God, for what you're going to say unto us this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. All right. We're going to go on to another chapter. Hey, we're still in book two, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we're still in book two. But I couldn't pass up. There's this one, and I think there's another one that I don't want to pass up in book two before we go on. But we're going to go on to chapter 11 in book 2, prayer and spiritual warfare. Okay? How many of you have heard of spiritual warfare? Okay. I came up in a time where, first of all, there were Christians who didn't know anything about spiritual warfare. You know, they just thought that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that my grandma would say that you were going to go through life on flowery beds of ease. You would never have any problems. You would never have to fight the good fight of faith about anything, that everything was just going to be just fine for you. That's what some people thought. And then also in my earlier Christian life, I never saw any of this, I heard of people who said they were doing spiritual warfare, and they were putting on fatigues, and they were getting in airplanes, and they were flying, saying, you know, we're going to go up here, and we're going to do spiritual warfare. Amen? Well, that's none of that is what Mr. Bounds is talking about in our lesson. Fortunately, he is going to clarify some things for us about spiritual warfare, and I am going to supplement that with some of the things that Apostle has taught us about battles, about the fight, and a little bit about the army, amen? Because these are all terms that Mr. Bounds is using in this particular chapter. And you know, Mr. Bounds make you feel like, my God, you fighting all the time, you know? And it is a fight. But I want to clarify that our fight, the fight of a Christian, is not a physical fight. It is a faith fight. Amen? We have to understand that, and I was going to say this a little bit later, but I'm going to say it now, that the battle has already been fought for us. The victory has already been won for us. Amen? The only fight, the major fight that we are called to fight is the fight of faith. Because what the enemy is doing, he's trying to pull you off of your faith all the time. And I was sharing with one of my sisters, you know, most recently I found out he is relentless. You understand? Satan does not give up. And we saw it with Jesus. How many times, was Jesus tempted? Amen? One, two, I mean, you know, three times. And then he said he leaveth him for a season. So, you know, he is so relentless. And what he's trying to do, he's not really concerned about us individually per se, but he is concerned about making a mockery of God. Amen? We're going to find out in this lesson, you know, God has ordained some things for us. You know, like when I say it's already done, it is already done. okay? And what the enemy, he knows. He's been here. He's been around a long time. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to stop you. He's trying to block you. He's trying to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose, God's plan, and God's destiny for your life. Amen? This is what he is out to do. And we have to, first of all, I'm getting way ahead of myself. We got to know who we are. We got to know what we have. And we got to know what we can do. Amen? And most of all, you know, we have to, and Mr. Bounds, he does a very good job of telling us about how we got to know our enemy. You know, a lot of times we go through life and we don't, you know, we know he's a devil. We know he's Satan, and we know, you know, what he's trying to do. But have we really studied his character? Do we really understand what he's trying to use against us? Amen? The lies. You know, the John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And how is he doing that? He's only able to do that when he's pulling you off your faith. Amen? When he's pulling you off of what it is that you're believing God for, which, like I said, it's already done. Amen? It is already done. Now, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Because this is going to be the basis of this particular lesson. I'll bring in a couple of other scriptures. Ephesians 6. 10 through 20. Online students, get your Bibles, get your iPads, get your iPhones. Let's read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ready? Let's read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. And so you see here, Mr. Bounds is looking, he's sharing with us the life of a soldier. You know, and that's where that armor is coming in. You know, a soldier has to wear certain equipment, especially if he's going to be going on the battlefield, right? Now, I'll put a little peg right there because, you know, Mr. Bounds talks about going into battle. We have learned, amen. What have we learned? Pardon? Go ahead. There you go. You go to the courts of heaven first. You don't just start fighting. You just don't stop. And a lot of times, you know, look at what he said. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, always remember, I don't care what's going on. You know, we don't fight against people. Amen? We never, ever fight against people. We fight against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. These are invisible foes. We can't see them. We can see people, amen? We can see them. But, you know, and we have to know that a lot of the times what the enemy is doing, he's using them. Some people, some of them, you know, I had to remind myself the other day, people are not always aware that they're being used. You know, they are innocent. And this is why, you know, we have to pray for them. You know, even though it doesn't feel good what they're doing and what they're saying, but they don't know no better. You know, that's why we can have pity on them and say, Lord, have mercy on them. You know, that's why Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Amen? And this is the way we have to begin to look at people. You know, that's not our battle. You know, we have to just give that to God. Amen? And, you know, our concern is them demon forces. Mr. Bounds goes on, and he begins to explain. He says, the Christian, and he calls us soldiers, amen? So, you know, this is the mentality of this particular chapter. We're in an army. We're soldiers. We have to put on all of our equipment. He says, the Christian soldier is seen as always being in conflict, which has many fluctuating seasons. He says, seasons, he looked at both sides. We've got seasons of prosperity, and seasons of adversity, seasons of lightness and seasons of darkness, seasons of victory and seasons of defeat. The Christian is to pray in all seasons and with all prayer. Did anybody remember that on the test? Because I gave you all that particular scripture, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. And I said there was only one type of prayer. See, I can talk about it tonight because it ended last night. Yeah, and I said there's only one kind of prayer. And we always talk about different kinds of prayer, right? Always, always different kinds of prayer. So it's not just one. So, you know, he goes on and he says, you know, with all prayer, and that we put the armor on, but the armor is not complete unless you're praying. Amen? Amen. Okay, you have to pray. No, don't think you're just going to strap the armor on and everything is just going to be fine. No. Once you put the armor on, I love what Apostle has been teaching us recently, and that is you got to get instructions. You got to get directions. You know, there are just account after account, especially in the Old Testament. You know, before they went to battle, they went before the Lord. Amen. Over in 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 30, and the little topic is David at Ziklag. You know, David and his, all the men had gone out fighting, and when he came back, they had burned down the city. They had taken all the women, taken all the children. And, I mean, they were so upset. The men began to cry, and then we were talking about stoning David because while they were out fighting with David, you know, their wives and all their children had been taken. But, you know, the Bible explains that David, first of all, I mean, this was just unbelievable when I read that. He asked the Lord, shall I pursue? You know, he wanted to know from the Lord, is it okay for me to go after my wife and my children? You know, and it's like the Lord said, pursue. The lesson that we have to learn in that, you know, when you're dealing with something, you always want to get instructions from God first. Amen? One of your fellow classmates, you know, she said we got to go to the courts of heaven. Found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 20. Well, let's look at it. I forgot I got first and second year students. We did a little of this last year. Hebrews 12. Now, this is not in your book, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. Talking about the courts of heaven. Okay. And it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. What we're getting here, we're getting a list of forces that are available to us in heaven. Amen. We call them, when we pray, intercessor voices. And they're there to assist us in prayer. Amen. And that's what I'm giving. I'm giving you this list. But you're come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's one. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, two, which are written in heaven, and to God, amen, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. This is the court of heaven. And, you know, when we pray it here, we pray this during our corporate prayer. And, you know, it says that when we go to the court of heaven, then we can get a verdict, we can get a decision, and we can get a judgment. And once we get that, then we're ready to go to battle. Amen? But a lot of times, you know, where we make our mistake is, you know, when a crisis comes up or when an attack comes, we just think that we're ready to fight. No. Go to the courts of heaven first and find out from God, how does he want to handle this? Lord, what you want me to do? You know, and I don't care, you know, even if it's something similar to what has happened before, you got to go every time. Because he may want to do it different this time. Amen. Always go to him and say, Lord, how do you want to handle this? And what we're looking for instructions and divine directions. Amen. Amen. Because we see it. We see it in the Old Testament. There was one of the Old Testament saints. He says, well, I'm not going to go if you're not going to go with me. How am I going to know if you're going to go with me? You know? And, you know, the Lord said, you know, you can go. I'll be with you. But there were also times he said, no, don't go. Amen. Or he was going one way and it turned up. He said, no, don't go that way. I want you to go another way. Amen. Amen. So that's the main thing. So in a battle, let's see, there was a woman, avenge me. Avenge me. And oh, yeah. Yeah. She didn't even talk to the enemy. She just went straight to the judge and said, avenge me of my adversaries. Y'all remember that? Avenge me. You know, she said, "Oh no, I don't have nothing to say to them. I'm gonna talk to the judge and find out from the judge, you know, help me to handle this. What you gonna do about this?" And sure enough, you know, in the account, she was helped. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So y'all got that right? You don't just go straight to battle. All right. Let me see. I wrote down here. Oh yeah, that Mr. Bounds is talking about battles and battlefields, and that's what we just talked about. I said we have to learn to go to the court of heaven before going to the battlefield to obtain a verdict, a decision, or a judgment. Over in 2 Chronicles, and I'll just read it for you. You don't have to go there because, again, this is not in your book. We have to remember that the battle is not ours. Like I said, you know, it's already been fought and the victory has already been won. We see it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verses 14 and 15. This is Jehoshaphat. Remember, all of those armies had come against him. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Verse 15. He said, listen carefully, all you people of Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. The Lord says this to you. Be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen?
Amen.
The battle is not yours, but God's. But God can't fight it if you don't come to him and ask for him to give you instructions. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, so we sometimes we pray and we say, Well, I wonder why it turned out like that. I prayed, I said, but is that what the Lord told you to do? Did you ask him? Amen. You know, is that the way he wanted you to do it? Yeah. Okay, amen, amen. It cannot be said too often that the life of a Christian, again, you know, this is Mr. Bounds, I'm not saying this, is warfare. And again, I told you that the only warfare we're in is this fight of faith, right? Amen. Believing God, trusting God, looking to God, depending on God. Amen. An intense life, he says it's a lifelong contest. It is a battle fought against, like I said, invisible foes who are ever, now this is a character of the enemy. Invisible foes who are ever alert and seeking to entrap, deceive, and ruin the souls of men. Amen. That's what the enemy is out to do. And I said, he is relentless. He does not give up. Amen? You know, he might come this day and then, dun, 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 beat you upside the head. And then when you don't fall, he'll walk away. And then he's going to come back and he's going to figure out, how can I do it? Well, I hit him on the right side this time. Let me hit him on the left side the next time. And then he'll come back and he'll hit you on the top of the head the next time. He's just relentless. Amen? But, you know, the Bible gives us a solution to this. And over in 1 Corinthians, just put this in your notes, 15, verses 57 and 58. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So the enemy is relentless, but we have to be steadfast. Amen. 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 Know what it is that you believe. Know in whom you're believing. Know in whom you're trusting. You know, when you go to God and you ask him first, remember, before you fight, then, you know, you can always go to the battle knowing, well, Lord, you said, amen. Amen. You know, I'm doing this because you said, and knowing that he is with you. Amen. 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 The Bible calls men to life, real life, everyday life, not to a picnic or a holiday. That's what Mr. Bounds says. He says, we're not called to a picnic or a holiday. We're called to life. This life, Mr. Bounds says, demands putting out the full energy of the spirit in order to frustrate the foe and to come out at last more than a conqueror. Amen? Amen. Yeah, we want to frustrate the enemy. We want him to be scratching his head. Saying, you know, what happened? Why it didn't work? I gave it my best shot. It worked down the street. Why it's not working here? Amen. The Christian warrior is compelled from the hour he first draws his sword, which is the word of God. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 6. From the first hour he draws his sword to endure hardness as a good soldier. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3. Mr. says, what a misconception many people have of the Christian life. How little the average, I want y'all to say, I'm not average.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The average church member appears to know the character of the conflict appear to know the character of the conflict or of its demands on him. Mr. Bounds says how ignorant he seems to be of the enemies he must encounter if he is to serve God faithfully, if he's to getting to heaven, again, it's Mr. Bounds, I didn't say that, and to receive the crown of life. Amen?
Amen?
He scarcely seems to realize that the world, talking about the average Christian, but we're not average, amen?
Amen.
The average Christian, he scarcely seems to realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil will oppose his onward march. He hardly realizes that they will defeat him utterly unless he gives himself to constant vigilance and unceasing prayer. Amen. See how the enemy is getting advantage of us? Amen. You know, we're not spending enough time in prayer. A little bit later, Mr. Bounds, and again, I keep telling y'all I'm getting ahead of myself, but, you know, he talks about, or he alludes to those people who only pray when there's a crisis. You know, I think we all know them. You know, as long as things are good, you know, they don't pray. But the minute there's a problem, then they know how to run to God. But if you notice, that's what Mr. Bounds said in the beginning. You know, he was saying that we are to pray in all seasons, you know, in good seasons as well as in conflict or in trouble seasons. Amen. You know, that some people might say, well, when things are going good, what I need to pray for? You know, well, what did we talk about in our last session? That's the praise. Amen. All you're doing then is you praising God. Amen. Mostly, you're thanking him for what he's doing, what he's already done. And then you want to get instructions. You see, because God always knows what's up ahead. He knows what's up ahead. And a lot of times, he will prepare us ahead of time for what's coming when we spend time with him. Amen? You know, that's what's happening to us. You know, we're not spending, I'm going to use the quality time. A lot of us, you know, we on the run. We on the go. We busy. You know, we'll do a little 5-minute shatandarabahishan. And, you know, we out the door. Well, you know, it doesn't work like that. Amen? Because in this class, I've always shared with you how prayer is a dialogue. It's you talking and then allowing God to talk back to you. Amen? But, you know, that's not in 15 seconds. It's not going to happen all the time in 5 minutes. It can. Okay? It can happen in 5 minutes. But it doesn't always happen, you know, like that. Amen? So the quality time that you want to spend in prayer. Amen? So we want to be able, Mr. Bounds said, we want to be able to strike the foe, our enemy. Amen? Talking about the misconception of many of the Christians, you know, about the Christian life and even about the enemy. How ignorant he seems to be of the enemies he must have if he's to serve God faithfully. He says he hardly realizes that they will defeat him utterly unless he gives himself to the constant, vigilant, and unceasing prayer. The Christian life, Mr. Bounds says, it is just at this point in today's Christianity that one may find its greatest defect in the Christian life. That's what he's talking about. He says there is little or nothing of the soldier element in the Christian life today. The soldier element. Now, we all know somebody who's been in the military, am I right? We know that they have to go through a very, very rigorous basic training. We know that, you know, they're very, very strict about protocol. Yes, sir. No, sir. Saluting and, you know, and doing all of that. Mr. Bounds says the discipline, the self, the spirit of hardship, determination so prominent in and belonging to the military life are lacking in the Christian life. Amen. Amen. Not all Christians. Not all Christians. Amen. Not all Christians. Some Christians. Amen. Because it was strange, you know, when I was getting ready for the class, my mind, you know, I came from a Baptist background. My mind would go back, and I can remember some of those old songs, those old church songs that used to about warfare and about battle. And I can remember one that was talking about, I got my war shoes on, I got my war clothes on, or something like that. And it's like, did they really understand? You know, God was so merciful and he's so gracious. Why? Because he was looking at their heart. Right. Amen. Right. You know, they didn't understand what they're saying about my war shoes and my war clothes on. Amen. But there is one that I did find that we used to sing here. We are in the army of the Lord. Let me see if I think I did. I just want to let y'all hear the chorus of it. Because I was just excited when I, okay. Somebody's over there. I remember one of them. Let's see, where did I put it? You know, you save these things, and it's like, okay, I got to remember where I put it. Okay. Oh, the title of it is The Blood-Bought Church. And I think the chorus is, we are in the army. Let me find it. Yeah, we're in the army of the Lord. We've been blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that could stop this mighty moving force with a shout, a praise, and a two-edged sword. He says every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free. Deliverance has come through the power of the Son, with the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Amen. I thought that one was pretty good. I said, oh yeah. That's talking about that army mentality, that soldier mentality. I mean, you know, we're the blood bought church, and we are the redeemed. And look, every prisoner held captive must be free. Our deliverance has come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I mean, these were just the things that were just going, as I was preparing, and it's like these little songs kept popping. I'll bring that one and I'll share that one with them. That's a good one. Amen. Again, Mr. Bounds is trying to impress upon us that we are to have the attitude and the consciousness of being a soldier in God's army. Amen. In God's army. You know, because we just think about, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I go to church, but there are some things that we're supposed to be doing. Amen? Amen. Okay, the Christian soldier who's bent on defeating the devil and saving his soul first possess a clear idea of the character of the life into which he has entered. That's what I was talking about. Know who you are. Know what you have, and know what you can do according to the word of God. Amen? He says, once you know who you are and what you have, he said, then you must know something of your foe, the adversaries of your immortal soul. You must know something about their strength. You must know something about their skill and their viciousness. Amen? Satan is vicious. Knowing something of the enemy and realizing the need of preparation to overcome them, the Christian is prepared to hear the apostles' decisive conclusion in Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 and 13. You gotta understand, Satan is out to stop us, each and every one of us, from walking in our full potential and our full destiny. You know, that's all it is. Those of you who were here for camp meeting, Dr. Leroy Jr., he said, all we have are distractions. Amen? And what he meant by that, if the enemy can distract us long enough, then he can detour us. He can stop us from reaching our God-given destiny. I have to put a plug here. You have to know that before you were ever born, amen, God has a purpose, a plan, and a perfect will for each and every one of our lives. It was after we were born, amen. If you would look over in Jeremiah chapter 1, an apostle has been admonishing us. Don't just look at this and say he's just talking to Jeremiah. Right. He's not talking just to Jeremiah. He's talking to me and you too. Amen? Amen. Chapter 1, verse 5. He told Jeremiah, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Amen. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained. My Bible, that little word ordained, it says appointed or either assigned. Think about it like that way. Appointed thee or assigned thee. Amen. And he says to Jeremiah, a prophet. But you see, he can say the same thing to you. It may not be a prophet, but each and every one of us on our lives, a God-given calling on our lives. And, you know, in the book, The Courts of Heaven, the author tells us that we have to, it's sealed. We all got a book, according to the Courts of Heaven. I thought it was like the Register of Voters book, with your name written in the book. No, you got your own book. Amen. Before you were born, your book was written, but it's sealed, amen, according to the author. And he says that we have to make discoveries, amen, and when we make those discoveries through our study of the word and listening to God, amen, and then God will begin to reveal to each and every one of us. You heard Apostle say it tonight, purpose, your purpose. You have a purpose, I have a purpose. We're all here for a purpose. And we have to discover that. Amen? We have to discover our purpose. And what the enemy wants to stop us from fulfilling that purpose and reaching our full destiny. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so this is a prayer class. And so Mr. Bounds is stressing to us in this session. He says, you know, you're in a war. You're on a battlefield. And not the enemy, but you've got to understand the enemy. You got to understand how he's working and how he's working against you, because the way he's working against you is not going to be the same way he's going to work against me. Amen. He's a strategist. Y'all, and anybody, you know, school people in school know about a strategist. What they do their whole life, they're straight. Amen. My friend says, "Oh, you got to be a strategist. Oh, you got to be a." And I said, that's manipulating people, you know, because they know that I've studied you long enough that if I say to you, black, you're going to run. Or if I say to you, green, you're going to do so-and-so. That's just manipulation, you know. They like to play with you. But that's what the enemy does. That's his strategy, to deceive, to manipulate, and to stop us and detour us from reaching our God-given destiny. And in this lesson, like I said, he got a few issues, but he does a very, very good job of reminding us that we are here to fulfill God's purpose, God's plan for God's kingdom. Amen. It's all about the kingdom of God. Yes. You know, and once we could keep that in our minds, we're trying to tear down Satan's kingdom. He has erected all of these things in the lives of people, and especially God's people. So we have to tear this down. Amen? Amen. And then we have to help God, partner with God to build his kingdom here. Amen? And we're going to do that by understanding, like I said, who we are. And then we're going to gain some understanding of the enemy and how he operates and how we can stop him. He can't do anything unless he deceives us, amen, amen. And lies to us, yeah. Amen. And we can just hit him with the truth every time, amen. Resist him, and he must flee, amen. Amen. Glory to God. We'll take this up again next week. Y'all be blessed. Read the chapter, book 2, chapter 11, spiritual prayer and spiritual warfare.